We're going to turn to Psalm 32 again, going verse by verse through this psalm for our time of confession to help us prepare for that time of personal confession to the Lord. And I'm reading verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So today our focus is on verse 5 of these verses, where David says, I came to this point where I acknowledged my sin and I confessed it to you. That's where he had reached to this point. You recall that in verses 3 through 4, David for a time was unwilling to confess his sins. He was holding it in. And God's hand, his heavy hand, was upon David, pressing upon David. It produced this feeling upon David that he was in this dry, barren land. His strength was dried up. He was in the, as I put it, the summer, July, Phoenix, Arizona desert weather, walking without water, burning up. And he comes to this point, though, where he says, I decided I would confess my transgressions to the Lord. And an amazing thing happens when he does that. He confesses them, and what does it say? You forgave the iniquity of my sin. In particular, I want you to see the remarkable simplicity of verse 5. It's very simple in terms of what David does here. Now, I don't mean simple in the sense that it's always easy for us to honestly confess our sins. That can be very difficult for us to humble ourselves before the Lord and to honestly confess our sins. That can be quite difficult depending on where we are at spiritually. But what I mean by simple is that the path to God's forgiveness was simple in that it simply required David to confess his sins. That seems to go without saying, but notice what's not here. David did not have to go through 1,000 different acts of self-atonement to get to this point. He didn't have to do all of these different things before the Lord says, you're going to do these things for a year or two or three, and then I will forgive you. But we don't see that here. David did not bring 100 bulls to sacrifice. David did not say 50 Hail Marys to gain the forgiveness of God. Sometimes we think that we need to do some sort of act of self-atonement to merit the forgiveness of God, but that's not what David does here. He says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, every week when we have this time of confession, we end with a promise of pardon, don't we? That we declare, we say it together in faith. And we say that because we have a confidence that God will truly forgive the sins of each of us who come in faith and repentance asking God to forgive us. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God does not vacillate in his willingness to forgive us of our sins. We worry about this sometimes in human relationships, don't we? When we've offended somebody, we're worried that maybe they won't forgive us if we go to them. And sometimes that worry is warranted in terms of the outcome. Maybe somebody is unwilling to forgive us. But I'm here to tell you that God does not vacillate in his willingness to forgive us as we confess our sins to him. God is, by nature, a God of mercy. Remember what Exodus 34, where the Lord speaks about himself. This is the Lord speaking to his people. And how does he describe himself? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is our God, brothers and sisters, that we come to when we confess our sins. Now, we need to remember that your forgiveness, your covering of sin, did come at a high cost. It came at the cost of the blood of the Son of God. And it came at the giving of the Son by the Father in love for you. He expresses his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that is how your forgiveness and covering comes about, is only through the blood of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. But it is something that is sure and is steadfast, and we can be assured about that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And this is another amazing thing as well, because it works differently than in a human courtroom. If you're in a human court and you've committed a crime, you come to that court and the crimes that you have committed are laid out before you, and you are to say guilty or not guilty. And if you're guilty of the crime, you say guilty. Now, what happens after that? You're sentenced to some form of punishment. And in particular, at least in the olden days of our country, if you had committed such a sin so heinous as the sin of murder, you were sentenced to death. That's what would happen. But I want you to see is that when we come to the courtroom of God and we say, I'm guilty, and we say, forgive me, Lord, we are not sentenced unto punishment. We are forgiven. And that is an amazing thing, that we come to this, we come to the courtroom of God, as it were, and we say, Lord, I am guilty of all these things. I ask that you would have mercy upon me. And he does have mercy upon us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Instead of being sentenced to death, you are pardoned, forgiven, covered, and declared righteous. That is an amazing thing. How shall we respond to the mercies of God that we see here? Well, I think Micah 7 perhaps gives us words to respond in praise to our God as we reflect on his character. Micah says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again, this week, have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as we come in this time of confession, I want you to come with confidence in the character of our merciful Heavenly Father and bring our sins honestly before him, because he has promised to forgive us of all of our sins. So let's go now and confess our transgressions to the Lord. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we praise you as a merciful God, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving us once again. We thank you, Lord, for revealing who you are to us and then giving your Son to us so that we would have confidence and assurance that you will be merciful to all who come to you, humbly confessing their sins and seeking your mercy. And Lord, we come to confess that we have sinned against you these past 7 days. We ask that you would forgive us, cleanse us, and renew a right spirit within us. Renew our minds, and by the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would transform our words and our actions, that we would more and more reflect your holiness in an unholy world. And now we take a moment to each confess our own sins before the Lord.